Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Jay, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night, which is try to take over the world. There is magic in thinking big, but it's so easy to forget. When that "I haven't got what it takes" feeling creeps up on you, think big.
Smooches. When that "I haven't got what it takes" feeling smooches up on you, think big. That's what we're talking about tonight on Thank God I'm Financially Free Fridays. Another episode that's going to help you, as David J. Schwartz, PhD, says, acquire the secrets of success. That's right. That's the big picture right now. There are so many things that are going on in the outer realm that sometimes that we forget that our ultimate goal is to become more successful. Now, what that means to each individual is an individual goal. So it's whatever. Some people are looking for satisfying relationships. There are a lot of people who want to acquire property. Some people want to start to trickle their income into a bank account so that they can become prosperous. Whatever you want to be successful at, I think that the best thing, and I gave someone advice not even 5 hours ago, the best thing that you can do with your dream is make it bigger. Your dream isn't big enough. If you're able to hold your dream inside your head, it's not big enough. When it starts spilling out, that's when you know, finally, overflow. That's what I'm talking about. I don't want to just be comfortable. I don't want to just have a relationship. I want to have a satisfying relationship. I don't want to just own a home. I want to own several properties. I want some financial freedom. I want to be able to do those things that people seem to believe that you can't do, depending on what economic system or side of the economic system you are on. But your dreams are reality, and there are other people out there thinking the same thing. The thing about it is you got to start to tap into those people, the people who dream big every day. And so for the person out there that seems to be at a 9-to-5 job, someone who has just started to try to build their own small business, this is for you because the dream gets bigger. And how it gets bigger is what a lot of people are asking me tonight. And so I'm going to give you a little insight. And I'm going to use the help of our particular, we're trying to promote this read, The Magic of Thinking Big. And I found a lot of, you know, a lot of the same patterns of other self-development and personal development books. In series, but this one has a very unique edge. And so I urge you to go and get it. And the funny thing is, as an entrepreneur and as someone who thinks bigger, you know, a lot of these self-help books are at our fingertips. So please just Google search, you know, the magic of thinking big. Smooches. So I hope that you guys are ready for a very informative night. If you want to call in later, you can at 626-213-5635. Again, that number is 626-213-5635. Let's find out what else our say about this thinking big and what it is.
Remember, if you think you are inadequate, you are. Concentrate on your assets. Know your positive self. Think big enough to see how good you really are.
David Schwartz, author and professor at Georgia State University, is a national authority on motivation. He has spoken to thousands of conventions and management seminars over the past 30 years. For the next hour, how to make your attitude your allies in developing confidence. On side two, you'll be introduced to the big thinking vocabulary. You will find out how to store valuable ideas so you can turn them into something big. And David Schwartz will help you set goals to get you started on short-term progress toward a long-term investment in yourself. Your personal training program for success will be built on the attitudes and techniques of big thinkers. How do you think? How do they come up with new ideas? You'll learn the key to creative thinking, and you'll find out how to put all of this to use in overcoming life's setbacks. This program is guided by a series of concrete examples, and there are exercises for you to try over the next hour. But remember, your training is self-administered. This cassette is a guide. The rest is up to you. Here's David Schwartz.
When it comes to thinking big, you have to make your attitudes your allies. Where success is concerned, people are not measured in inches or pounds or college degrees or family background. People are measured by the size of their thinking. How big do we think determines the size of our accomplishments? Now, all of us want to enlarge our thinking. Let's see how.
Ever ask yourself, what is my biggest weakness? David Schwartz, most of all, is self-depreciation, selling yourself short. And self-depreciation shows through in countless ways. You see an ad in the newspaper for just the job you'd like to have, but you don't apply. You think, I'm not good enough for that job, so why bother? You've got your eye on a new manager in your office, but you don't even ask for a date because you think you don't rate. Just come up with a really innovative product, a new kind of software, or a better chocolate chip cookie, but you don't go to the very company that could get it on the market for you because you think that company is too big time for you and your invention. Self-depreciation shows itself in lots of little ways. You ask for a smaller raise than you'd really like, or you brush it off when no one notices that the much-praised reorganization of the office files was your idea. Even in the smallest ways, you can sell yourself short.
Philosophers for thousands of years have issued good advice. Know thyself. Interpret this suggestion to mean know only thy negative self. Now, it's well to know our inabilities, but if we only know our negative characteristics, we're in a mess. Our value is small. Here's an exercise to help you measure your true size.
This exercise, which has worked in hundreds of executive training sessions, begins with you determining your five chief assets. These assets can be anything about yourself that you know are worth something. A college degree, perhaps, or your reputation for having a way with kids. Or maybe you're one of those people who's always calm under pressure. Or you can make a decision and stick with it. Anything, really, that amounts to one of your good points. Invite someone you know and whom you respect to help you with the list. It could be a coworker or your spouse or a fellow student or professor. Someone, by the way, who will be honest and give you a straight answer. Now, under each one of your chief assets, write the name of three people who have made it big in your eyes, but who do not have that particular asset.
Complete this exercise, and you'll discover you outrank many successful people on at least one asset. There is only one conclusion you can honestly reach. You're bigger and better than you think. So, fit your thinking to your true size. Never, absolutely never, sell yourself short.
Seems like everyone I work with is just older than I am, and it's really hard for me to get any respect from them. And so when I set a goal to myself, I have the feeling that I'm never going to accomplish it because everyone's looking at me and saying, oh, she's just a baby, she can't really do this. And they think I'm too young, and if you think I'm too young. And maybe I am too young to do it. Two things I've always dreamed about, being a stockbroker or something exciting like that, dealing with a lot of money. And I think I have the mind for it. The only problem is I don't think I have the stomach for it. I mean, the nerves aren't very good anyway. And the least thing upsets my stomach. So I just don't think I'd last in something like that.
I mean, I'd like to go into the music field. I really always like music. But it's hard. I've been out of school for so many years. I'm old. I'm 31. Everybody in school is 17, 18. And to get into a music school, you have to try out. They have to see whether you're a good enough musician or not. You know, what if I'm no good?
Perhaps the easiest way to differentiate a big thinker from a small thinker is how they deal with the problems of life. All the small people I know consistently suffer from a disease called excuse-itis. They make all kinds of excuses to explain why they can't do something, why something won't work, why we shouldn't even try.
Excuse-itis comes in many forms, but there are several common and particularly virulent strains of the disease. One of the main ones is intelligence excusitis.
I'm not quite smart enough to handle this situation. I'm not quite smart enough or intelligent enough to call on this prospect. I'm not quite smart enough to apply for this job. I'm not quite smart enough to conduct this meeting. I'm not quite smart enough to make more money. Now, if you're listening to this tape with someone else, do me a favor. Take a good look at that person and think this. That person is only half as smart as you've been conditioned to think. You know, my friends, we make two mistakes about intelligence. One, we grossly overestimate the other person. And second, we grossly underestimate ourselves.
Then there's age excusitis. You've heard it, and you've probably used it at one time or another. People are inclined to think they're either too old or too young. Look at it realistically. Apple Computer was started by two young men barely out of college who capitalized on a good idea and ended up computer superstars. Orson Welles was only 25 when he created the film classic Citizen Kane, and director Susan Scheidelman was about that age when she made the modern hit movie Desperately Seeking Susan. At the other end of the calendar, you have the world's biggest hamburger chain, McDonald's. Its founder was in his 50s when he hatched the idea of this fast food chain. The original Colonel Sanders was drawing his first Social Security check when he went national with his Kentucky Fried Chicken. And Ronald Reagan became president just days before his 70th birthday.
Our chronological age is not what's important. Our attitude toward life is what counts.
Yet a third form of this disease is one that persists in spite of the current rage for health clubs and vitamins. It's called health excusitis. And if you don't believe a lot of people have it, just add up the number of ads and TV commercials you see telling you how to get rid of aches and pains. Now, no one is physically perfect. There's something physically wrong with just about everyone. And because your ailments are not unusual, they are also not very interesting. When you complain about the lower back pain you've developed from sitting at a desk all day, or your shin strain from jogging, or the eye strain the computer terminal gives you, you're simply switching off other people's interest in you. And what you have, would you like to be on the receiving end of your physical complaints? Your answer will probably be a resounding no.
Nobody enjoys pain. And when you complain about how bad you feel, you simply become a symbol of pain. As you complain about your pain, you are encouraging other people to leave you.
When you're next tempted to sink into complaining about yourself as a substitute for going out and doing something constructive, remind yourself of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Crippled by polio as a young adult, he went on to become the only president in our nation's history elected to four terms in office. Or think of TV star Mary Tyler Moore, who has succeeded at a demanding career despite diabetes. There are plenty of examples close to home of people overcoming physical problems, big and small. Just watch the evening news. But let's say you take aerobics 3 times a week. You're the picture of fitness and you're proud of it. Health is not the thing that's holding you back. In your case, it's luck. Everyone else, it seems, has all the good kind. Some people just have luck. I work hard. I know I'm doing the job. I know I'm doing better than a lot of people are doing, but for some reason, one particular person that I work with seems to get all the benefits no matter what without even trying. I have one friend who's really lucky. It seems like whenever something's going wrong for both of us, she creates a change and gets better for her before it gets better for me. I remember about 6 months ago, we both broke up with a guy that was gay. And, you know, it only took her like another month to meet someone that she's really interested in, and was really interested in her. It just seems like she gets everything when she wants it, the way she wants it. I mean, it has to be luck. There's no other explanation.
I just never accomplish anything. I'm so busy trying to undo the bad luck that always finds me. And I'm running around in circles all day, and by the time I get done with the day, I'm trying to do what I started out doing after I unraveled all the bad things that happened to me. So I'm nowhere.
Luck, you say. But is it really, or do you have a severe case of luck excusitis?
Smooches, I hope you're still there. I hope you're still taking notes. And I hope that at this point in the broadcast, you kind of get the point of why it's so important to pick up books that help you plan your success. There are some people out there that are making some really good gains. And I think that you can make greater gains if you just incorporate some type of personal development into your schedule. And, you know, a lot of people say they don't have the time, but the audio books make it so easy for us to be able to ingest knowledge. You know, technology has made it very simple for us to be able to work and also increase our knowledge and our prosperity at the same time. And so one of the things that the was trying to get across is that a lot of times we're making excuses. A lot of times we are saying that, you know, in this world of free will, that there is this magic of bad luck that is happening to us. A lot of times we're blaming our intelligence on why we haven't gotten ahead. Well, if you're tuning in now, then you definitely have tapped into something that you've been wanting for a very long time. You've been wanting a broadcast that helps you alleviate your fears and begin to elevate your mind so that you can continue to grow on, especially when it comes to your finances. Even if it's your relationships, healthy relationships are equivalent to your finances, because if you could make these healthy connections, if you can make more healthy connections, then you're going to have productive and healthy lives. Once you feel like you're in a healthy relationship, you want to eat better. You know, once you start to be around people that have these success goals, then you're going to be around people, you're going to see that it's a lifestyle. And so I just wanted to interrupt just very briefly for our listeners because, you know, we don't have a lot of broadcasts that come out and speak to the masses about our fears. We have media cases that generate even more anxiety for our fears, and that's because every time you turn on a local broadcast, there's nothing that they're giving us but the news, and the news is not the only knowledge that we need. If you are a person who is stuck and the news is not giving you anything to get ahead, I can tell you this: you will not die living this in this time and age without knowing some of the broadcast. And so we have developed this broadcast. Thank God on Financially Free Fridays. It's for the go-getters. It's for the people who want a media broadcast show, a media broadcast adventure, with someone that possibly sounds like you, someone who has been up against the same obstacles that you have, but I'm persevering through and I'm taking my listeners with me. So let's return to our author and our speaker and find out what else we need to do in order to think bigger. Smooches.
Look closely and you'll find that the person who is winning the promotion, making friends and cultivating romance, while being sought out for creative ideas, is not succeeding by chance.
Luck has very, very little to do with anything. The people who are successful are those who are working the hardest, doing all they can to make their dreams come true.
Curing excusitis is surprisingly simple. The hard part is recognizing that you have it, that you are using excuse after excuse to get out of trying to get what you really want out of life. Recognize yourself in any of these forms of excusitis? Then do this. Tell yourself over and over again, my attitude is more important than my IQ. And no one is ever too old or too young. Refuse to worry about your health. And more important, refuse to talk about it. And remember, there's no such thing as bad luck, only lost opportunities. You know, the mind is nothing but a thought factory, and a busy one, manufacturing countless thoughts, good and bad, every day. An amusing but very helpful way to look at your thought factory is to imagine it under the charge of two very different foremen. David Schwartz is of them, Mr. Triumph.
Triumph is in charge of manufacturing positive thoughts. He specializes in producing reasons why you can, why you are qualified, why you will win. The other foreman, Mr. Defeat, produces negative, depreciating thoughts. He's your expert in developing reasons why you can't, why you're weak, why you're inadequate. This specialty is the why you will fail kind of thinking. To see how these foremen work for you, try this example. Tell yourself, today is a lousy day. This signals Mr. Defeat into action, and he manufactures some facts to prove why you are right. He suggests to you that it's too hot or too cold, or business will be lousy, other people will be on edge, you may get sick, your wife or husband will be in a fussy mood. Mr. Defeat is a tremendously efficient servant. In just a few minutes, he's got you sold. It is a bad day. Before you know it, it is a heck of a bad day. But tell yourself today is a fine day, and Mr. Triumph goes to work. He tells you, look, it's a wonderful day. The weather is refreshing. Could be alive. Today you can catch up on some of your work, and then it is a good day. The more work you give to either of these two foremen, the stronger he becomes. The only wise thing to do is simply fire Mr. Defeat. Mr. Defeat won't help you get you where you want to go, so kick him out. When any thought enters your mind, ask Mr. Triumph to go to work for you. He'll show you how you can succeed.
Every day there is opportunity, a chance to put Mr. Triumph to work. And the desire to turn opportunity into reward is one of the reasons you're listening to this cassette, instead of waiting for the lucky break that may never come. The door to success is wide open, but the first step through it is believing in yourself. Belief can move mountains.
You can't wish away a mountain. You can't wish yourself into an executive suite, nor can you wish yourself into a fine home. But you can win success by believing you can succeed. There is nothing magical or mystical about the power of belief. Belief, the positive I can attitude, generates the power, the skill, and the energy needed to do it. Doubt, the subconscious will to fail, the not really wanting to succeed, is responsible for most failures. Belief in success is the one basic, absolutely essential ingredient in all successful people. Believe, really believe, you can succeed and you will.
Ah, but you say, believing is one thing, doing is another. The fact that I've never gone in there, I can't answer that really. Every time I think about going into that office, every time I think about it, it's like this incredible sort of massive marshmallow that stops me. It's like this incredible wall that does not let me just walk on. And there's nothing I can do to get rid of it.
There's this woman at work who I'd love to call up, but I'm really afraid of not succeeding, and the fear of the rejection is great. The fear of making a fool of myself is great. All this ties my stomach up knots. So, rather than call her up and risk embarrassment at work or risk her saying no and not having any chance, I just won't call her up.
The fact is, many people are paralyzed by fear, and fear is very, very real.
Now, our friends mean well when they tell us, "Look, it's only your imagination. Don't worry. There is nothing to be afraid of." But there is. You and I know that this kind of fear medicine never works, because fear is real. Fear is success enemy number one. Fear stops people from capitalizing on opportunity. Fear closes your mouth when you want to speak. Fear actually makes people sick. Fear is a powerful force. In one way or another, fear prevents people from getting what they want. Now, the first treatment for fear is to condition yourself to one simple fact. All confidence is acquired or developed. No one is born with confidence. The people you know who radiate confidence have acquired their confidence. Every bit of it.
Acquiring confidence is not as hard as you think. Banishing fear and developing confidence actually involves only one thing, getting the action habit. You must simply plunge in and do the thing you fear the most. Every time.
Action. Your fear. Do the thing you fear, and fear will disappear. Afraid to speak up in a classroom? Speak up. Afraid to ask for promotion? Ask for it. You see, one of the truly great success proverbs is simply this: ask, it shall be given unto you. Knock, and it shall open. Action is what cures fear. The longer we meditate about fear, the longer we postpone doing something we are afraid to do, the more difficult, the more impossible. Do this. Right now, think of one thing you dread most doing, and then do it.
Let's think about something that you might do to get the action habit in the face of a few common fears. Try them. For example, it's natural to fear getting a bad evaluation when you're new on a job and still being watched. So instead of worrying, do this. Tackle the project or job that is your weak spot. Stay with it until you've mastered it. And even the attempt at doing better will build your confidence. How about the fear of what other people think? There's no one who doesn't worry about looking bad. So do this. Put people in perspective. Remind yourself that other people are not as smart as you might think they are, and you are smarter than you think. Then tell yourself this. No one ever does anything worthwhile for which they're not criticized. Expect to be sniped at by small thinkers, but take it as proof that you are growing. And then go ahead. Then there's that fear that sometimes creeps up on us. It's a sense that something is going to go wrong, but you don't know what it is. Now, a good way to counter this vague fear is by putting your mind to work thinking about something you can control. It's a good idea to keep it simple, sitting down to write the great American novel, or delving inward to come up with the invention that's going to make you rich, will probably only add to your sense of impending doom. Rather than take on a large challenge, start with something basic, close to home. Try tackling that repair job you've been putting off for weeks because it takes too much figuring out. You'll be surprised how fast vague fears disappear when you're concentrating on taking accurate measurements or trying to figure out just how to jiggle that screw in. And doing something for someone else is a sure fear cure. Is your neighborhood school having a fundraiser to buy some new sports equipment? Pitch in, help with the publicity, or organize a raffle. Again, these are all examples of how you can act in the face of fear. But you are unique, so be creative. Carry your own way of acting to who you are. And make no mistake about it, action does cure fear.
Smooches, so there you have it. You are unique, and the first part of curing your fear is action. And I'm wondering if any of our listeners are really allowing this series to absorb into your fear, because that's the thing about fear. Fear doesn't like new knowledge. Fear doesn't like new concepts and ideas. Fear wants you to stay fear, because if you're not in a state of fear, then fear cannot be. The only way fear can be a part of this universe is if we accept it. And so think about some of the great things that you are going to be doing, and think of them as great. I saw a website not too long ago, and it was called Good Enough Mommy. And I thought about that name, and I said, you know what? Good enough, is it good enough? But it must have been the person who created the site that had to start speaking greatness into themselves. And so I had to respect that Good Enough Mommy is going to probably be Great Mommy in a very short amount of time. So wherever you start, remember, it is going to progress so that you can think bigger. So it's not that the author didn't say start with something small. What she said was start with something basic. I would say think of it in the realm of the bees, because basic is a bee, so it would be very easy for you to change that to big. So I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed this broadcast, because we're bringing it to our listeners, and we're going to share some more of the magic of thinking big in the next couple of weeks so that our listeners can start to share this broadcast with others. And we will definitely be posting it on our IG at Smooches Radio. We will definitely let you know where you can go and get more of the audio books at your local, you have your local libraries, and they have a lot of downloadable books. And you also have some places online that are sharing these personal development series absolutely free, and that's what it's all about. It's about financial freedom. It's about you moving from one to the next. And for anybody out there that will continue to listen to our broadcast, we would love to hear your feedback. If you know anyone out there that has more to give as far as personal development, please contact us at DreamMakerMaps. That's DreamMakerMaps@gmail.com. We would love to hear your comments about our show and our series. And I'm hoping that for anyone who is downloading this at a later date, that this is one of the most motivational things that you've heard this week. So that's it for us tonight, and I just want to let you know we are the number one woman-owned radio venture smooching love, hugs, and kisses all around the globe. And for all of our sponsors out there, including the Print Shop New Jersey, we are talking about the Vashti School of Leadership in Newark, New Jersey. We're talking about the Female Achievers of Orange, New Jersey. And we are just sending out a very special smooch out there to our friend, Ms. Salima Graham. She's the author of When God Was Effervescent, for her recent nuptials. And also, we just definitely have to thank all of the people who supported the Jay Boo and his family recently at the wake and the funeral that has brought some tragedy into this area. But you know, one of the great things about one of the things he said when he was at Columbia University is that, you know what, you only God can judge you. And I hope that you, these words definitely are on someone who needs to hear words of encouragement. But I want you to think bigger, better, greater. Okay, now, so while you're waiting for the other vlogs to do something new, Smooches Radio is always about you. Smooches, good night.